perfect weight. Brought to you by Tabs The Lock. Activate to get Tabs' best starting price guaranteed. T's and C's apply. Gamble responsibly. Gambler's Help 1-800-858-858. Let's start the Racing Rewind. After it's all done and dusted, the Correct Weight Racing Review. Here's Warren Huntley, Dean Lester and Brendan Delaney.
Great to have Dino and Brendan join me to look back at that meeting at Cranbourne. We'll touch on some events from Newcastle with the Hunter later on in the program and anything else that we thought is worth noting. But Dino, it was Cranbourne Cup Day yesterday. There was some nervous moments leading into the first with track inspections and the like. It was good to see that the club was able to get through the meeting first of all.
Yeah, it was. Warren, good morning to you. I think the weather gods just played their part by the rain easing after the first race. But I'm really pleased that the stewards and the jockeys backed the track in, because it is a track that can handle a lot of weather, and it did. And we got through pretty well, and I thought it played really well. You could be on fence and running well or swooping and winning, as we saw. It really came down to pace of races.
Got persistent showers during the morning, Brendan, as I welcome you in. And when I arrived on course, Rob Montgomery, Brett Wright, and others were walking out onto the track, and they were concerned about surface water, and they just didn't want any more rain. And that was the reason that they went out before the first with the riders to have a look at it. As Dino said, at least the rain eased a touch, and it was fortunate that they were happy to roll the dice, ride, and then conditions improved a bit, Brendan.
Yeah, they didn't seem too happy, the jocks, after the first couple of races with a couple of winning rider interviews. But nonetheless, the all-important factor was that rain holding off. Had there been any more rain throughout the day, I think with the exposure of the ground after the horses going over it and the rain, it might have made it a little bit more dicey going forward. But I thought the track raced really well. A couple of horses struggled in certain parts. I think might have been, that section of track they were inspecting around the 600 seemed a few horses struggled from that point around the bend, but once they hit straight lines again, they were okay. But I thought it was a really good day's racing. We've seen some nice horses win, and a great reward for Robbie Griffiths and Matt DeCock taking out their hometown feature.
And a great atmosphere on course, and they were cheering when King Magnus held them off in the Cranbourne Cup.
Magnus, then came Mystery Shot, well back Sosibon in a twinkling. Our Playboy's getting going now. Buffalo River approaching the corner at the 450, three quarters of a length to Age of Chivalry. No effort, two lengths away from Luna Fox. King Magnus, Sosibon. Our Playboy's going to be the widest. A mud splattered Our Playboy about four off the lead. Mystery Shot and Barbie's Fox behind them. Buffalo River, Age of Chivalry in front. Mystery Shot darting back between runners. No effort, King Magnus and Sosibon. Sosibon down the outer. King Magnus at the 100 with no effort. Sosibon there. King Magnus surges. King Magnus in front, looking for a local win. King Magnus won the Cranbourne Cup. Our Playboy up for second. Photo third. Mystery Shot or Sosibon, then no effort.
Terrific scenes post-race, Dean, with Robbie Griffiths, Matt DeCock and Sandy McKenzie all embracing as the team, looking after King Magnus on the day. The big team behind them, no doubt, a big part of it. How did you see the race?
Yes, and we saw footage of the owners in the outside of the bubble there, enjoying the moment as they should. He's a wonderful horse, King Magnus. He's just a good little quiet achiever. He goes about his business and runs a big race every time he steps out, and again he did yesterday. I didn't know if he could at the end of 1600 and testing ground, but he certainly did, and it was a high pressure race. When Age of Chivalry went forward and went with Buffalo River early, it ensued a really, really strong speed, about nine lengths above average, and you could just see it about the 800, that three wide line were going to be the ones in the finish. It was no effort. It was then King Magnus, Sosibon and Our Playboy, and they all gradually made their moves into the race. The one that didn't get that momentum but was back to the inside was Mystery Shot. Kept getting held up and stopped and started in his tracks, and I think he could have made it very interesting had he got into that running line or got clear air, but it was those horses with the momentum out wider that really dominated the race.
That's noted in the stewards' report between the 500 and the 200, a crucial stage for Mystery Shot. With King Magnus settling a little bit closer, Dean, the effort of Our Playboy, did he have to really exert himself to get into the race from that stage, the way the race panned out?
Yeah, he did, but he was still good to the line. In the context of the day, he was the last 200 thanks to daily sectional times, about the 24th best last 200. Considering there are a lot of sprint races, that was a pretty good effort, and certainly the best last 200 in the race. So he's run very well, proving what a good wet tracker is, and he runs the mile out strongly. Sosi Bond, he was the one up in the weights that ran really well. Mystery Shot, no effort. Age of Chivalry battled on well, because that was a big surprise. He's never gone as hard as that in an on-pace scenario with weight in his career. He ran a similar sort of speed early in a Cantala a couple of seasons back with 53 kilos. But for him to do that and battle on at the finish, he didn't run a bad race. But, it was a real race of attrition late.
Thoughts on the Cup, Brendan?
Yeah, lovely ride from Lockie King. Had him in the right spot with that early speed on. There was that group that Dean touched on that I probably had it down at the 1,000 to probably there was three horses that I thought were really going to be in that right spot. Mystery Shot, King Magnus, Sosi Bond. King Magnus went around, Sosi Bond followed him. Mystery Shot back to the inside, stop and start run. And probably that last little check that he got at about the 250 when Age of Chivalry rolled on top of him, took his chances away. If not, I think he makes it very interesting. He's such a warrior, though, King Magnus, really deep into a preparation. He just keeps on putting his hand up and running well. Our Playboy, context of the race, the speed was there for him to run on, but to make that looping run at Cranbourne is a really big task from the back. I thought he was a really commendable performance. Sosi Bond ran his usual honest race. I thought No Effort was really brave. She was just off that leading speed. Age of Chivalry, Buffalo River were just in front of her. She sat three deep. She battled it right out to the end after looking like she was probably going to drop off at about the 500, but the rest of them really got tired or felt the ground one or the other, but well done to Robbie and Matt and the team with King Magnus. I'm not sure what they would have rather preferred, Dean, if they had to toss a coin between the Cantala or the Cranbourne Cup. Would they take the Cranbourne Cup over the Cantala for getting the prize money?
Oh, I think it was pretty special, yeah. I think winning the first Saturday Cranbourne Cup, winning the Cranbourne Cup, and Robbie being an absolute local, and for Matt De Cock in their first season to get that feature win was so important. And it was a very special day, I'm sure, for the team yesterday.
As an adjunct to the race, Dean, just the Victorian Wakeful Club, Catron Kelly and the team there do a terrific job, full stop, but they love supporting strappers, and there was a $200 strappers prize for the best presented horse in the Cranbourne Cup yesterday, and it went to Hannah Benalla for presenting Barbie's Fox, and judging the best presented horse was Julie Murray, best known, I think, yes, as Dieter Clark's Batman and Robin type partnership. It was great to have a chat to Julie about where Dieter's at, and she's living with Julie at the moment, and she's going really well, hoping to be back at the races in a couple of weeks. So plenty of people just want to get an update on Dieter Clark, one of Cranbourne's most popular figures, and great to know, Dean, that she's made really good progress since that incident that hospitalised her with a bleed on the brain going back a while ago. But physically and mentally, she's making really good progress, and I think La Marita's due to have a run sometime soon, and Julie and Dieter are hoping to be back on course, if not for the first up run, then certainly during the summer campaign. So we'll see her back on our racetrack shortly.
Yeah, that's terrific news. And, as you said, Dieter's been a part of the racing community at Cranbourne, and Julie. Julie's been there as long as I have. So, that's very good news.
One, just a general one about the Saturday feature meetings. This is from Jeff. Is the team in favour of a couple of more these Saturday feature meetings, say Sale, for example? Dino, your overall thought on the mix at the moment with how we're blending a few of those meetings into the Metropolitan program?
Yeah, Sale would be an interesting one. I don't know. They're the day after the Cox Plate now, and if they're happy with that date or if they'd like to branch out into, the Sale Cup used to be run either in mid-February or mid-March when I was first in racing. So it's certainly had changes. So it would be a track deserving of a Saturday fixture. It's well and truly good enough. I think probably the one that doesn't have a Saturday city fixture is Geelong, and Geelong should have a Saturday city fixture, maybe not for their cup, but maybe they could develop another feature race, and they're certainly a track deserving of that sort of status.
Thoughts there, Brendan?
Yeah, definitely Geelong, definitely Sale. Issue with Sale is the placement of where the track is for horses, you know, from sort of the Werribee side of out towards the Western Districts. Access to that track, it's a long way for some of them to travel compared to when you're getting to Cranbourne and then Caulfield. That's the only thing that would be in my mind to hold back that. But Geelong's nice and central, and the tracks that already have Saturday meetings are well and truly deserving of them. And just to give them Metropolitan tracks a rest. They do a lot of work throughout the year, particularly in winter when the ground gets softer and they just need that time to recover, so that we've got pristine racing surfaces for our feature meetings in autumn. So this time of the year, and maybe, you know, throughout a little bit of the winter, is an ideal time to send these Saturday meetings to some of the premier regional tracks.
John from Merbu is very sceptical about the meeting at Cranbourne being successful, but he was won over yesterday. Thanks for your contribution, John. He was disappointed that the work couldn't be done to get a crowd at Dunkeld, and then it would have been great to have a crowd at Dunkeld. Hopefully this is the last year we're having these discussions about crowds or no crowds, but such an iconic race course, the Dunkeld race course, and disappointing that they didn't or weren't able, for whatever circumstances, to have that crowd yesterday.
Yeah, look, there was commentary yesterday that it was how could it be that there wasn't a crowd? But the actual club understood why there couldn't be a crowd. As you've been on course, I haven't been on course at all through the COVID period, but you need multiple entrances and exit points for the participants and for, at the moment, the general public now. And Dunkeld's just one little road into the track, and they didn't have a way of separating the racing bubble from the community bubble. So it just became not a practical thing. So they wanted, of course they wanted a crowd, but they understood, heard a really good interview with Andrew Cuse with one of the committee people about this a couple of weeks ago. And so Dunkeld will be as big as ever next year because, you know, we're hoping that we're no longer in a bubble situation.
We're hoping that the Zipping Classic Day at Caulfield is the day that racing bubble first becomes dismantled, so to speak, or significantly reduced. And it's not necessarily just a race club thing. It's the government rules to be able to put on the event that they have to maintain these bubbles and protocols and zones. I know it's frustrating, and John, I think the club shares your frustration, and hopefully it's the last year we have those discussions. Top of the program at Cranbourne yesterday, Greg Urell. He would have loved to train a winner on Cranbourne Cup Day. He had a debutant, Torchy Could, in the first.
Leader is Great Mama, held together by a length and a half, USSR. Tortue Could is third from Highland Harley. Then came Valenconi, Prairie Flower, El Padrino to the outside, still five off the lead, and then a gap, Jamara under the whip. They come around the turn at the 250. Great Mama in front by a length, USSR, who crabbed around the corner. Tortue Could is the first to strike at the 150. It's Great Mama with Tortue Could and El Padrino down the outside. Tortue Could with 50 metres to go. El Padrino coming out after it. Tortue Could with El Padrino having a lunge. They reach the line. Tortue Could beat El Padrino, and third a photo between Valenconi and Great Mama, who got...
Well, the fairy tale with Blazewski and the Apache Cat couldn't come off later on in the program. Brendan, what did you make of Tortue Could's win for the stable in the first?
Good professional effort, sat behind a speed that was solid enough. Great Mama, Craig Williams, pretty keen to hold the lead. Even that keen, he was happy to chop out USSR at about the 600 to ensure he held on to it. Lead gave a good kick on the turn, but all the while Tortue Could was just being waiting and waiting and asked for his cue to go, and Damien Lane let him go, and he was nicely. El Padrino, that was a super effort on wet ground for a debutant, a natural wet tracker. Valenconi made a little bit of ground. Great Mama spent the tickets early. Highland Harley was okay. And then you had USSR, who was up there riding the speed, got the check, and as Matt mentioned in the call, didn't really get around the bend all that well. But two horses that really adapted to the ground well were first and second. Taught You Could, El Padrino, and Taught You Could just had enough up his sleeve due to the fact that he was just that little bit closer in the run.
Craig Williams copping one of two suspensions in this race. He was aboard Great Mama, gets suspended 13th of November to the 22nd of November. Jackie Horner also suspended in race 8 out of the program. Dino, how did you see the first?
Yeah, it was a really good ride and a solid effort by the winner, Torchy Could. El Padrino, I really liked his trial last Monday, and he ran right up to that. And for a baby, he ran the sixth best last 400 of the meeting and the third best last 200. So clearly the best last 200 in the race. So he certainly showed strength. So I think he'd be better over further. And, well, he certainly showed yesterday he's got an ability to handle the wet. Valinconi, who went past an easing down Great Mama at the jump outs at Mornington, did it under higher pressure yesterday. So has got a bit of a future. But, I think good effort by the winner. Very well ridden, very well educated for the day. El Padrino's the horse I'd like to take home.
USSR reported it as being green, and that was obvious watching the race, Dean. So she looks like, in the mounting yard, she looked a very athletic and a lovely style of filly, but she hasn't quite got the race smarts yet.
No, and interesting, Warren, and there was a bit of debate or a bit of commentary about it on Twitter yesterday that horses that are listed as Cranbourne don't see the Cranbourne racecourse. They're trained at the big training complex, and those 800 metre trials are virtually often out of the dog leg chute, and there's barely a turn. Yesterday she had to go around a pretty severe turn. She really lost her action, so she didn't know much about racing on a tight track like Cranbourne provided.
Yeah, it's very different to, I suppose, the Mornington trained horses being trained at morning and quite often having access to that unique course proper, Dean.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, the undulations at Mornington and the way that track turns, if those horses are doing it every day, they're, as you said, they're a lot more used to that facility. But the Cranbourne horses, other than racing there, that's the only time they see it.
Greg Urell on the scoreboard early on Cranbourne Cup Day. El Padrino, perhaps a horse to follow out of the first. We get to the second. There's a short price favourite, Station One, having a quick third run in his first racing preparation.
Then Toro Peak, Sacred Cove, and that's the race. Coming up to the turn at the 300, the Amazonian Set Alight went to the front. What can Station 1 find here? On the point of the corner, the Amazonian from Station 1 who looked to have a kick, and then Toro Peak, the Amazonian with a sustained run at the 150, lugs in. Station 1 can't find. Toro Peak's the threat. It's the Amazonian at the 100. Toro Peak wearing it down, but the Amazonian finds under Patrick Maloney, and the Amazonian won it. The Amazonian by a length and a quarter, Toro Peak, six length Station One, then Sacred Cove.
Reading from the Stewards report, Dean, regarding the favourite Station One, Craig Williams reported he was not disappointed with the performance of the gelding, who may not have been suited in the heavy conditions. Post-race veterinary examination failed to reveal any abnormality with Station One. How did you see race two on the card?
Yeah, well, they went at pretty steady speed, and he just had the one on his outside. Who are those guys? And that was his cousin, Jade DeRose, aboard. I think he was probably getting a bit annoyed with getting that little bit of pressure on his outside, but they didn't go very hard. And just the Amazonian just built momentum nicely, and it was in the sweet spot. And they actually dashed home pretty quickly, first and second here, considering the distance of the race, etc. But the Amazonian, too good for Toro Peak. Station One, very busy start to his career, third run in 15 days, but he may not have handled the ground. May have been better going faster in front too. He did do that when he won his maiden. So, look, it was a disappointing lineup for this race. A real beneficiary of that were the Price and Kent Jr. stable winning the bulk of $150,000 on offer.
Worth talking about that, Dean, because involved in consultation with developing this program, and there seemed to be an appetite. I spoke to some trainers yesterday on course that were keen to have a horse in this race, but just for various circumstances weren't able to have a horse ready to run this trip at this stage. Just the thought process in this race being a Cranbourne Classic that hopefully will grow over the years?
Well, it was... designed for maybe a horse that was running on at the end of the Carbine Club 2 weeks earlier, or on the 1800 metre race on Melbourne Cup Day, 11 days for them to go on to that, and that's what Station One did, but it didn't quite get the job done on the day. Would it be better at 1600 in the lead between the Carbine Club and the Sandown Guineas? But you sort of like to try and promote the younger stayers, and the thought process was that they might like that run, put away and aim up maybe at the South Australian Derby or something in the autumn, but it didn't work this year. Hopefully with exposure next year, it gets a better participation.
And back to the Cup, which was a success regardless, but to have a horse backing up out of the Cantala, and hopefully in time you see mares coming through the Empire Rose and targeting the Cranbourne Cup. So that change seems to have had some initial success, Dean.
Yeah, it does. Whether, you know, in time the Cantala, there is a thought process it might get moved back to the final day, that might have an impact. But certainly the Empire Rose mares onto the Cranbourne Cup might be a good way to go. And it was very satisfying that, a bit like with the Hunter yesterday, that a horse running well out of a Group 1 race came on and won the Cranbourne Cup.
How did you see this race, Brendan?
Slowly, very, very slowly it was run, and I think that was to the detriment of the favourite, Station One. When the winner was building momentum off his back, he was going too slow, and I don't like it when the horse to the outside's a half length in front, and he was just happy to, Craig Williams was just happy to lob along back to the inside of who were those guys. Had he pressed the issue a little bit more, I think he might have had a little bit better success than what he did. The Amazonian was able to build his momentum, Torpeak followed through, and with that momentum on the wet ground, they put a space on the rest of them. The Amazonian was good, but he was just in the right spot and got a good ride from Patrick Maloney. Randy Tan just followed him through Station One. His mind must be all over the shop with the programming he's had through the early part of his career, but he certainly has showed promise from what we've seen of him, but he'd be much better going faster. And then the rest really struggled out the back. As soon as the heat went on, Who Were Those Guys was quick to drop off, and Sacred Cove, I'm not sure that the colours were doing than much justice, but Will Price looked like he copped a fair bit of backwash back there, sitting off that lead quartet. But he battled okay, but just a smart ride from Patrick Maloney on the winner to build momentum at the right time.
Nick Lovett, Kristen Manning, well known to many in racing involved in the breeding and ownership of Chartres, was lining up second up in race three on the card for Matt Laurie and Mick D.
To fourth, then True Nobility, Raduna, Chartra last. Jigsaw up towards the corner, fills up the lungs at the 350. Big Apple giving strong chase. Extra Gear needs a run behind them. He's Exceptional is coming with a sustained run. Jigsaw well and truly collared by He's Exceptional, who went for home at the top of the straight from Big Apple. Chartra's running on down the middle, and also Extra Gear. Chartra went to the front. 100 to go from He's Exceptional. Extra Gear from last to first. Chartra is coming away and is going to do it comfortably. Chartra won it well from Extra Gear. He's Exceptional. Fourth, Big Apple.
How'd you see this race, Brendan?
Solid enough gallop from Jigsaw. He wanted the lead. Alana Kelly was happy to hand up on Extra Gear, and Jigsaw had run his race by the time they had got to the turn. Set up nicely for the winner, Chartres, who was able to push clear of the fence, build momentum, and by the time that it got to the top of the straight, had a full head of steam up. Extra Gear, complete opposite, held up behind. Stop, start, run, not ideal on such a wet track to try and pick up and sprint through, and by the time Alana Kelly got clear air, Chartres was off and gone. He's Exceptional. Tried to put a jump on them on the turn, but that dash that he put in just told on him. Raduna didn't handle the ground at all. Once got in a straight line, finished the race off okay, but on the circle, couldn't build any momentum at all. And Jigsaw, he got up on the speed, and he was beaten off a fair way out. But a nice ride from Mick D. Speed was on for Chartres, and had the momentum, which was key yesterday, to really pounce at the right time, and was impressive through the line.
How'd you assess the race, Dean?
Yeah, it was all about momentum here, Warren. They went probably a little bit quick early. Jigsaw going along at a good speed at 1,200, which you expected him to do, but between the 8 and the 400, the only two horses that actually improved their way into the race was the winner and the third horse. And whilst that was going on, the second horse, Extra Gear, was biding her time waiting for a run, which didn't come and had to wait. So I don't think it affected the result. It affected the margin, but Chartra, promising enough type, and this shame that Scissor Step was scratched, but this was a handy enough race. We saw He's Exceptional win early in the season in a pretty handy race at Moonee Valley. So there was a reasonable field here, but Chartra beat them well. An Extra Gear, she's been very well backed her last two runs, so you knew she was going well, and with the lightweight yesterday, she ran well. She's not far off a win and can go back to Philly's grade as well.
Cindy Alderson's been trying to get Jigsaw back to what we know is something like his best form, little gaps between runs, jump outs and gear changes. Nothing from a veteran examination post-race yesterday. Brett Preble reported the colt would be better suited racing as a gelding. I know Cindy's a close friend of yours, Dino. Have you had a chat with Cindy post-race to see if Jigsaw's going to have that ultimate gear change yet?
I haven't, but that was the discussion after his last run. So if that that be the case, what I did notice yesterday from a horse that used to just, you know, wander around the mounting yard, he seemed very much up on his toes, Warren, and that's hasn't been in keeping with what he showed early doors. So yeah, he might be starting to know that he's a bit of a man and might have to come back a peg.
I thought notable with Mick D yesterday in that race, it might have just been the way the race shaped up, but when he got that clear air and was starting building momentum, as you outlined, Dean, I think he was conscious of the fact that extra gear was travelling and back to the inside, and he just tried to keep as neat a line as he could round the home turn just to avoid Alana Kelly being able to get that run. I thought tactically that was a really sound move from Mick D.
Yeah, and also I think you're right, Warren, and what that meant was that he went through his gears a bit more gradually. I think he was travelling up like he could have gone a lot quicker, but he realised that, geez, there's only one that might be able to challenge me. I'll wait, and just, as you said, went nice and kindly through his gears, you know, brought the second horse undone and then went for home. It was a really smart ride.
Bermudez tied a little bit of the form together going into the Shooting Star over 1,500 metres, and Lyrical Lad dashed away for an impressive win.
Magnus Bellagio tacked on two off the lead. Oceans of Stana Miranda fifth from Real Sensation. Mr. Me giving a slap with the Persuader at the 250 from Our Lone Star, but Lyrical Lad swept up and took the lead. Lyrical Lad inside the 200 metres from Mr. Me, Our Lone Star, Magnus Bellagio, but kicking away Lyrical Lad for Jamie Mott. 3, 4, 5 lengths, and Lyrical Lad's going to do it easily. Second Mr. Me, photo third. Our Lone Star may have just fallen in with...
Well, he was in the market with three or four others, Brendan, but he put a significant margin on the horses that he was fighting out the betting with. How did you see this race?
Another race where they didn't go hard, and the horse that was close to the speed building momentum while the leaders were still trying to maintain some sort of a reasonable gallop before really pulling the trigger was the key to the race. Jamie Mott was off and rolling before Mr. Me and Our Lone Star were really asked the question, and he had a full head of steam up and was gone by the time that the race was there for some of the others to try and get clear, like Real Sensation, who just battled around the turn, but he didn't have a great deal of room, and the leaders in front not really rolling along didn't help his cause, but Lyrical Lad just got the sweet ride in behind and was able to steal it off the turn. Mr. Me went slow in front, had every chance. Our Lone Star overdid it in the breeze, and that probably dulled his finish, and Real Sensation not suited by that slow tempo and being back on the fence. Just another smart ride on a wet track where building momentum was key.
From the Stewards Report, Dean Damien Lane adding that in conjunction, I suppose, with what Brendan's outlined about the tempo, but Damien Lane saying that the gelding didn't handle the heavy conditions yesterday. Your thoughts here?
Yeah, well, certainly Lyrical Lad did. He just ploughed through them, and Jamie Mott's a great rider, but I think he rides wet tracks as good as anyone going around, and he just kept that horse in a beautiful rhythm, and that's key with balance, and the horse ran away to win. I'd be very forgiving of Our Lone Star. The only time, what we've seen of him at his best was when he won at Flemington. It's the only time that he's been in a really fast run race. Other times he's been in medium tempo races, and he's run well. Yesterday he was in a really, really slowly run race, and as Brendan said, he overdid it. We didn't get to see anywhere near the best of him, so I'm very forgiving of his run. But Lyrical Lad adapted well, second best last 400, 200 of the meeting, so he really did run away with it late, so it was a pretty comprehensive display.
It looked like they were going quite modest earlier. I thought Mr. Me might really try and string them out here with a bit of race fitness on his side and run them along. From a tempo point of view, Dean, how were they cruising through the early stages?
Very slow, about 16 lengths below standard for the first 800 metres, or first 700 metres. And when you consider that, yeah, in the cup, and then I know it's a lot higher grade, they're about 8 lengths above standard. So, you know, you're talking about 4 seconds difference to the average over the to the 800 metre mark. So they just went ridiculously slow. The cup probably went excessively fast, but this field just went way too slow.
Horse that was having its first run for the Peter Moody stable, Oceans of Stanimer. He's not a big horse. I don't think he's even 15 hands high or somewhere
no.
around that. He looked a pony in the mounting yard. He did have a tall strap of will from from the stable Dwarf, the horse in the mounting yard. There was good money for him, Dean. In the stewards report, it says that he didn't handle the heavy track conditions. So you'd probably cut him a bit of slack. Oceans of Stanima finishing last and beaten a long way. But, yeah, he's certainly not an imposing galloper. So he's got a motor. People have acquired him, have acquired some good horses in recent times, but not his day yesterday. And he was very diminutive in the yard, I thought, Dean.
Yes, I noticed a few kids queuing up to actually try and get a ride on him there. just before the start, he's tiny, but I will say that, you know, he did do most of his racing on the Cambridge Synthetic, so I think probably came over with that bit of a rap that maybe wet tracks weren't his go, but you know, you've got to find out for yourself. And I think they found out yesterday, you know, one, the tempo is against him. He's been in a lot of fast run races in New Zealand where they've where he's been back and flowed into the race and actually covered a lot of ground. Yesterday he was in a slowly run race and a dash home, so on a wet track, so it was a totally foreign sort of day for him, and I'd be very forgiving of his performance.
Kingy's a regular contributor via the SMS. Thank you for your contribution again this morning, Kingy, and he was thrilled with the way Damien Thornton drove Paul's Regret up the inside in the Fillies and Mares Pendant for Rosemont Stud, race 5 yesterday.
Brazen Song keeps them running and is starting to gap them. Coming up to the turn, put up 2.5 lengths, maybe the best, who's trying hard. Then Paul's Regret next in the field. Bel Plaisir as Brazen Song has a few of these off the bit. April Rain's fifth and has a lot to do from Wanaleri. Around the turn, Brazen Song well and truly off the rails. Getting a bit weary now. Led 2 lengths, maybe the best, and Paul's Regret back to the inside. Then Bel Plaisir, they've got to Brazen Song. Maybe the best, and Paul's Regret left to fight it out. Maybe the best with Paul's Regret. Paul's Regret up on the paint, and Paul's Regret won it from maybe the best, Bel Plaisir. Fourth, a photo, April Rain or Brazen.
Well, there's a couple of races yesterday, Brendan, where I think they posed the question of how long do you follow a horse to follow. I think following that second of probably or Paul's Regret became a horse to follow. Man Kane had been a horse to follow, but I think a few of us had probably dropped off by the time that yesterday came around. And I'll start with you, Dana. What did you make of the win of Paul's Regret driving up on the inside yesterday?
Well, it was all about, it was a bit like King Magnus. It was guts and determination, because she wasn't really going that well coming to the turn. And Damien Thornton, you can see he was trying to get to the outside of the heels of maybe the best and try and give her a bit of room, and he couldn't, so he had to go back to the inside, and it was a neat run, and she showed a lot of heart and courage to just pick up and keep trying and chip away, and she's just had to keep going in these races because she's as good as them. She's not better than them, but she's just got to keep lining up, and she has. And yesterday she had her day over maybe the best. Bel Plaisir, I thought Bel Plaisir and April Rain were a little bit too conscious of each other in the run.
Yep.
And I think brought them undone. The other thing I'd say about April Rain, Warren, is I didn't take a lot of notice of a pre-race at Flemington, but what I noticed yesterday, she's a big mare.
She's a lovely, big, relaxed mare. Mm. You're right, and probably getting pushed back to the inside. I agree with what you say. I think Luke Curry was very conscious of trying to get Damien Lane back to the inside and knew where April Rain was the whole time. And, yeah, I think he was a bit of a Mick Gaffer tagging role there. Didn't help April Rain, but probably ultimately, you know, took something away from Bel Plaisir as well. But you're right, she's a lovely big scopey mare.
So, you know, like getting to Cranbourne, and that's probably the error that I made, that, you know, watching her Flemington run was outstanding without any luck, and then getting to the tighter track at Cranbourne and on wet ground, she probably had, it was a very forgivable run from April Rain. She hasn't been beaten far either, and I thought when Brazen Song kicked away coming to the turn with her fitness, she might have nearly got them all off the bit and been able to hold them off, but she couldn't late. And gee, I'd just love to see Wanaleri just begin cleanly in a race. She began better yesterday, but I think her best form, if she can get right up on the speed and dominate a race, now we're getting closer to the off-season, she might be one that's going to win pretty soon, Wanaleri. She went quite well. And standoff only performs at Flemington, it seems. All of her forms at Flemington.
Yeah, and talking about April Rain being a big girl, standoff can quite often be very fresh and even give a double barrel and be very up and about in the mounting yard. And probably the relatively quick backup and a little bit less fresh for her. She was a little bit more sedate in the mounting yard, Dino, and probably something I've learned about standoff is you want to see her a little bit off tap almost.
Over the top, run to her best. Yeah.
Brendan, your thoughts here?
Yeah, standoff. I leave her alone now until she gets to Flemington. That's where Flemington 1400 or just a little bit beyond. That's where we see the best of her. But nice to see Peter Chow with a win. She just struggled on the turn a little bit. Paul's Regret. There are a few horses that really struggled to build their momentum on that turn with the wet ground there yesterday. And she was just one that might have lost three quarters to a half a length making that turn. But when Brazen Song wandered off the inside, left plenty of room for her to come through. She was really determined to get maybe the best and a good solid win. Maybe the best is going well this preparation. She's yet to miss a top two in her four runs now. She's going to be one to follow if she can hold together for one or two more. Belle Placeur and April Rain just got back in awkward spots. They both run on well, but you've touched on the reasons with the boys just looking after each other a bit there. And Brazen Song, she can find a way to get run down at any trip. 1400, 1600, 1200. She'll give you a sight. She was brave there yesterday. Maybe just the wet ground. She got the wanders up late. And Wanna Leary, as Dean touched on, be nice to see her get back to what she did first up at Warrnambool, where she jumped on the speed and rolled along and really gave them something to gun down. But Paul's Regret of being close throughout the spring. She turned that corner going back probably just about 8 or 9 months ago, where she recaptured her form that we had seen as a younger horse, and she was really solid yesterday.
Another SMS from Rhino, Dean, a regular contributor, still basking in his home affairs glory. Good morning, gentlemen. Just another observation. C. Williams, after a frustrating spring, didn't finish further back than fourth on all his rides yesterday. I think the wheel will turn. He may have a few winners just around the corner. Well, you know Craig Williams will keep working hard, Dino, and keep doing what he does. And I suppose ultimately you've got to have the right cattle and some luck. But he's had a frustrating spring, but you could certainly see that turning around in the short term.
Hope so, for those punters that have backed him to win the premiership. Come on, Craig. Start riding some winners.
Your thoughts there, Brendan?
Yeah. He did have a frustrating run, but the jockey ranks throughout Melbourne were pretty competitive over the last 6 weeks, particularly through Flemington, when you throw the likes of Bowman, McDonald into the mix. There's not as many bones to go around, and there are a few missing there yesterday as well, which probably allowed Craig some better opportunities than he might have had. But when they get back to sort of the average sort of race, he tends to find his groove and pick them off in town.
He would have been the go-to. Sorry, Dana.
I was just going to say, Warren, and we talk about wins and losses. So he didn't have a win at Caulfield Mooney Valley, and he had the one win at Flemington. But then you look at the majors. He ran second on Nonconformist, second on Animo, and third on Spanish Mission in the Melbourne Cup. So the three majors, he was a major player nonetheless.
We get to the Apache Cat, and he would have been the go-to man for Richard and Chantel Jolly. That's been a great relationship over many years. He was aboard Dexalation, staying at 1,000 metres in the Apache Cat Classic.
Mudlark led around the turn. 300 to go. Sir Callahad has been backed and led by two lengths. Huffington, bless her. Blazejowski up on the fence, then Dexalation. Sir Callahad at the 200 metres, led by a length and a half. Blazejowski and bless her digging in. Sir Callahad with 50 to go from bless her. Dexalation late. Sir Callahad coming hard. Dexalation and got up. Dexalation's nabbed Sir Callahad right on the mirror. Third, bless her from Dexalation.
Gavin Bench could nearly pulled off another plunge, Dino. $3.80 the SP for Sir Callahad. First of all, he was just praying the meeting went ahead, Gavin, and he got everything that he wanted with Sir Callahad. Interesting that the stats on both horses now at 1,000 metres, both Dexalation and Sir Callahad. How did you see the Apache Cat?
Yeah, it was a tremendous race, and it set up exactly how you probably thought it would, that Sir Callahad would be up on speed. I thought he was pretty well rated in front and on pace, and Dexalation was going to have to produce something pretty big to win, and he did. He was the best sections of the day, and they don't have to be the best horse for them to admire them, and he just always runs well, Dexalation. He just puts it out. He's really tough every time he runs. He ran well through the winter, ran well in a Wongoom and a Topaz, and I think he's come back better at the run on 1,000 metre sort of trip. It's always the last few strides of the 1,000 that he gets there, but nonetheless he is getting there. So Callahad was great. Bless her, conditions suited. Blazejowski ran well. I think the first four ran well, but Dexalation was the best on the line.
And not a clean sweep, but at least a result for the Formula Bet contestant, Dean?
Yes, a little prize for about $120, I think, for the Formula contestant with Dexhalation winning. But it was a very good win. Sir Callahad, as you said, Gavin Bedgood set his team for Cup Day. Sir Callahad ran well, no effort, did her absolute best in the Cup, and Frankie Two Angels ran nicely in the last. So he's a really good young trainer going somewhere, Gav.
How'd you see the Apache Cat, Brendan?
Dexhalation, very good. Sir Callahad was solid up on speed. Bless her. Tried hard, just didn't look overly comfortable in that heavy ground, but she kept on coming. Blaise Jowski had a chance to had his chance back to the inside. Just wondering if early on in the race, Dean, with Sir Callahad being slow to begin, could have Stackhouse pushed forward on Huffington and crossed early? You knew Sir Callahad was probably going to charge through, but with him being that three quarters of a length slow and being one of his main dangers up on the speed, he could have easily just kicked up with that beginning that he had, crossed it and taken his main danger of speed out of the race early.
Yeah, it would have changed the race completely, Brendan. And I thought that actually for the split second when he didn't break as cleanly as you'd wanted Sir Callahad, that he really had to muster. And the door could have easily been shut there, but he got through and it changed the whole dynamics of the race.
Dean, just to outline your perspective on this, he's seen as a good on-speed galloper, Sir Callahad, and he's well exposed now as a seven-year-old. He's won 9 from 46, and he's won between 1,100 and 1,300, but he's now had 9 starts at 1,000 metres and only recorded 2 placings. What's the difference between the 1,000-metre trip and the trips that he's racked up so many wins at?
Yeah, well, he needs to really control a race, and yesterday he had the conditions that probably suited. But for a speed horse, he just at 1,100, he can just have that little breather or dominate a race a bit more. And even when he won at 1,300, he got that very heavily biased track back on the hillside back in June, which certainly helped. So yeah, he needs he's right on his class mark, and it's a bit like what we spoke about with Peter Chowsmere, that they're not better than these horses, but they're as good as them, and you've just got to keep lining up and hoping that you have your day, and he all but had his day yesterday.
The punters lined up again for Man K and backed into a $1.95 favourite in race 8 over 25.50.
All into Rio. Indiana Lily's dropped away, passed by Epsom Days and Constantinople. Coming up around the turn, it's Mankind and Blandford Lad. They're stride for stride around the corner at the 250. Two lengths to Monmouth, Royal Crown and then Brawl. Mankind trying to get past Blandford Lad. At the 150, Blandford Lad kicking on the inside of Mankind. Blandford Lad about three quarters. Mankind who can't get to the lad. Blandford Lad's brave. Mankind's having a dip now. Lifts. Favourite will get up this time. Mankind has won from Blandford Lad and Monmouth. Photo fourth, Royal Crown.
Won by the SMS, Brendan, a listener who maintained the faith, had Mankind won out in the quaddie yesterday, but he thought with 50 metres to go, he'd done the same thing to him again. How did you see this race?
Yeah, I'm not sure Mankind probably wanted it as much as our SMS contributor wanted it. He was there. He had the race shot to bits on the turn. You would have thought there was a big turn in the weights on the wet ground. He'd had a soft run close to the speed and looked like it was his race to go on and win. Blandford Lad can be brave like that on a slow speed, but I thought Mankind had him shot at the top of the straight. If you go back and have a look at the replay, might have been Peter Gallagher standing on the outside fence in the mounting yard, an almighty throw of the hat when Mankind got the upper hand. It was almost toys out of the cot scenario when Blandford Lad got picked up in those last couple of strides. But jury's out for mine on Mankind. I know he won yesterday, but just how much he wants to put in and put a race away. Blandford Lad was good. Monmouth had the lightweight slow speed, was there to finish it off. Royal Crown took off a long way from home, and then the wheels just got spinning on the turn, and she was okay towards the back end. Epsom Days ran his usual honest race, and I don't think Constantinople's going that bad. He seemed to be winding up there yesterday, and then never got a crack at them. Maybe working towards packing a bigger track, he might be able to put his hand up and find himself in the money again soon. But Mankind took all of Josh Ridgett's guile to throw him over the line there yesterday.
Jackie Horner incurring a whip-related suspension for trying to get those wheels spinning again rather than spinning on Royal Crown. Brendan, how did you see this race, Dino?
Oh, I love this race, Warren, because I thought Craig Williams probably thought, well, on Blandford Lad, I'll make Mankind actually win a race. So he kicked Mankind, got to him, then he kicked back. But what I loved about this race the most was Josh Richards' maturity, in that you watch the head on, he was just hands and heels, got to the 100, used the whip like a real shock tactic, like really shocked Mancone into action, and the horse definitely found again and found enough to win. So I think they probably might be learning with Mancone. I know it's been a frustration if you're backing him, but yesterday I love that a young rider maybe showed up how to ride this horse by just saving that little bit to late and using the whip at the right moment and not maybe just sort of wailing away from the top of the straight.
Glenn Ingram put out a tweet yesterday, Dino. There was a tweet put out by the RV stewards. Some data feeds and publications showing this race that we're talking about now is 2,500 metres. The correct distance is 2,550 metres. And Glenn Ingram adding to that tweet saying, Mancone likes this tweet. He needed that extra 50 metres, Dean.
He did. It was just, I think, the crucial moment, the 100-metre mark, when Josh decided, I'm going to lift your boy for your last effort, and you better give me something, and he did. He ran well. Monmouth, I know you were giving him a good chance, and he ran really well. Warren, he's a good, tough stayer, and he's probably got another 10 or 12 runs in him now. Once he hits form, he holds it for many runs. So he'll be in the long-distance races over summer, and he'll run well. And Royal Crown, he ground away. But Brawl probably just needed that run at this trip. He'll be better for that experience, I think.
Yeah, looking forward to Monmouth being in perhaps a wet Friday night at the Valley over 3,000 metres. He could run well there sometime soon. We get to the last, Camborne. He was arguably one of the most talented gallopers in the race. Could he produce it with a jump out between runs? And Brett Prebble aboard in the last.
Camborne goes to the front as they reach the 300 metres and went for home. So it's Camborne, 2.5 lengths in front of the General, who has to try and hunt it down with 62.5, the rest battling. Camborne went for the Doctor at the 150. It's 4 lengths in front of the General, then a wall of them fighting out third. But it's Camborne with 100 metres to go, kept up to its work by Brett Prebble. It's going to bolt in. Camborne won it well from the General. Frankie, Two Angels third, then High and Dry.
Summed up well by Matty Ely, bolted in. Your thoughts on this race, Dean?
Excuse me, Warren. I think he bolted early. He settled back in the field, and he was just about the 900. He just took charge and just rolled into the race, and he only had to keep going, and he was going to win, and he kept going. He did. It was a pretty comprehensive display, but down the back straight, Brett Prebble was just about a passenger, and he just rolled him into the race and won easily.
How'd you see this race, Brendan?
Yeah, he was a big, strong boy, and he was feeling pretty happy, as Dean touched on. Brett Prebble just left him on a three-wide course, and he did the rest, put the margin on those that were up on speed. Naval Envoy didn't get to roll along like he likes to do. The General's in the same boat as him, and Camborne just kept building his momentum as he wanted and rolled past him. The General anchored with that weight. Frankie, Two Angels, okay, late, High and Dry made a bit of ground, but Camborne owned it himself from a long way out.
Good to see him back in form, a double for the Price and Kent Junior Stable on the card, and close in the feature race, the Cranbourne Cup. A terrific day's racing, a Saturday feature meeting at Cranbourne. The club, Neil Brainbridge and the team, did an outstanding job. Ben Spearings, the track played as well as it could, played terrifically considering the weather that we had, and onwards and upwards for that Saturday feature meeting for the future. There's a Saturday feature meeting at Newcastle yesterday. We'll get into that meeting after
the Racing Review.
Straighten up now, and Special Award slipped up on the inside, racing to a narrow lead from Prime Candidate, who's trying to come back. A length off to Lost and Running. Bowman starting to wind him up. A length further back to Sweet Deal. Top Ranked as One Pace, and Wonderbar went past, but Bowman goes for home here on Lost and Running. Two lengths clear. Wonderbar's the only danger. Lost and Running a length and a half to Wonderbar, then Top Ranked, and Lost and Running, Too Classy, wins the Hunter by a length and a half. Wonderbar second, Top Ranked third. Kemantari late from...
Well, he had the right form lines through Eduardo and Nature Strip. Dino, what did you make of his win yesterday, Lost and Running in the Hunter? Might start with you, Brendan. How did you see the running of this? We'll just Dino get back online. Dino, if you're there, take us through your thoughts on how Lost and Running executed that yesterday.
Yeah, he was very dominant, Warren. He drew the wide gate, but Hugh Bowman explaining after race, he was pretty happy to have that because he was virtually jumped. He walked in and jumped straight out of the gates, and he can play up a little bit in the gates. So it was a it was probably a bit of a godsend for him. It was important. If it's one thing to throw a lot of money at races, it's important for them to have good winners. And the Hunter has at least, I think in its 3-year history, had good winners, and probably the best of them was this horse yesterday, 59 kilos. Beating Wonderbar, who had 52 on his home track, ran really well. Well, she did, and top ranked. There was a lot of talk about him going into his first up run, and I thought he passed with flying colours. Terrific run. Be better for that experience. Kemantari running on late, but class horse to the fore, and John O'Shea outlining that the Autumn probably looks like maybe a Canterbury Stakes and an all-age stakes, but a bit like a Melbourne Cup preparation, aiming everything up at trying to get to the Everest next year.
Thoughts here, Brendan?
Yeah, he had the form on the board, didn't he? A couple of lengths off Danger Strip at Eduardo in his last couple. Hugh put him in a spot close enough, and he was just better than them late. Wonderbar, I thought, was a good performance. Top rank was solid. Kemantari did his usual thing, and Signore Fox, I thought, made some nice ground back to the inside. But he had the runs on the board, lost and running, and he capitalised.
Questionable whether the Gong next week is going to have the same quality of field, but the money will be there for those wanting to compete for it. Ray Thomas outlining a horse who's in a rich vein of form, Festival Dancer, in the Francis and Christine Cook colours, took out the Spring Stakes at Newcastle yesterday.
From Defrainer. Kokoro gives away a big start together with Anakur as they straighten in. Festival Dancer in front by two on Holstein and Lock Eagle. Then Lease back on the inside. War Eternals hit the wind there and is running all over the place. It's Festival Dancer clear. Two lengths on Lease. Then War Eternal. Anakur five lengths away, coming with a huge run late, but Festival Dancer stolen a march, and Festival Dancer wins the Spring Stakes. Second goes to War Eternal, and third between Lease on the fence.
Well, she took out the three-year-old. I suppose we've seen some three-year-old fillies from the Waller stable down here in recent weeks, Brendan, that are a very elite level, but a significant race for the filly, but also for Dylan Gibbons winning his first stakes race, a young apprentice. How did you see the Spring Stakes?
Yeah, he was more than happy. Owned the race from a fair way out, rolled to the top and controlled it and gave a good kick. War Eternal, third up, ran well. Anacure was a really nice closer, and Lease, I thought, battled on okay, but a good effort from Festival Dancer, made a big step up in grade after progressing through the classes and was dominant on speed.
Dean, how did you see this race?
Yeah, had plenty of experience going into this race, Warren. Yesterday, a 13th start for an early season three-year-old. That's plenty of racing, and served her well. We've seen the fillies at the longer trips starting to bite back a little bit because they've been off the pace in the sprint ranks. But Festival Dancer did a good job. But I think the highlight of this race was Dylan Gibbons, not only his first stakes winner, his first city winner. So he did it in style and really spoke so well after the race. So he's on his way. War Eternal was quite a good run. But, all honours with the winner. I think just hard fit and plenty of experience on her side.
Yeah, big money also on offer throughout the card there. Torrens taking out the Beaufort for $300,000. Dino, any other highlights from the Newcastle card to your eye?
Yeah, I think that was one of the highlights, Warren. He's a horse that has really had a great run of it in recent times. Torrens winning the Beaufort. He'd won the City Tats Cup prior to that, and he'd won at Warwick Farm. So he's won three of his last four and going great guns. And with Jenny Duggan able to use her claim with 51 kilos, and she used it. She didn't just sit up. She made the others with their weight chase, and he was too good. So that was one of the highlights, and always the 2-year-old there is a bit of a dash at the start of the program, and the Russian Revolution for Russian conquest for Peter and Paul Snowden got the job done there. They had a very good start to the program. They had a French import called Huitor win race two, and that was a pretty good win too from well back in the field. It was a good pressure race, but Huitor came from back to win.
Anything else of note from you, Brendan, on the card?
I did like the win of Torrens with the lightweight, first time really controlling it up on the speed, and I thought Jenny Duggan did a tremendous job with the weight and really made some horses that are good enough in this sort of race, sort of stayers, really battle the likes of Hush Rider and Shared Ambition, who had a big difference in the weight, but he had a pretty good run close and dropped off, and we know Hush Rider likes to get out and roll and battle on, and he couldn't do that, so great performance from Torrens.
The Perfect Pink won another Group 1 in New Zealand for Jamie Richards and Opie Bossen, and it's going to be a bit of a quarantined Perth carnival this year, Dino, with the local horses. We've got an SMS just asking you your thoughts on Elite Street.
Elite Street was amazing yesterday. That was, you know, it was a very hard day to make ground at Ascot yesterday, and Brad Ruilla just bided his time, came to the outside, and the horse just he just did the rest. He's in a rich vein of form. He's obviously the defending champion going into the Winterbottom, but so far the lead-up races have all been won by him, so he's deserving of favouritism, Elite Street, those races being the Crawford, the Prince of Wales, and now the Colonel Reeves. And from Barrier 14 on a day where it was hard to make ground, he was a dominant factor. And the other terrific winner there yesterday was a mare that had a lot of time for and Kiss on All Four Cheeks, won the Colonel Reeves, which gets automatic entry into the railway now, and we'll go around probably second favourite, but it was a really good win because it was in a terrible spot coming to the turn and found a way to win, so that horse was going well. Dan Morton had a great day there, both of his horses.
Update's just come through. It's already a heavy 10 for the meeting schedule for Bairnsdale tomorrow, with the heavy rain gone, but showers still forecast for the next couple of days. So if you've got any involvement in the meeting at Bairnsdale tomorrow, stay tuned to Racing Victoria during the course of the day for any announcements regarding that meeting. Now it's time for the runs of the day, the horses to follow.
Let's wrap up the Correct Weight Racing Review with the run of the day and the horses to follow.
We'll start with you, Dino.
I'll go with King Magnus as the run of the day. He was magnificent in winning the Cranbourne Cup. And the horse I want to follow is out of the last, High and Dry. He's a big track, dry tracker. He was on a tight track, on a wet track yesterday and ran fourth. Get him on a big track next time, 1600. I think he'll nearly win.
Donald and Geelong today, anything we should be keeping an eye on?
Like one at Geelong, it's short enough, but I think race 3, number 7, Resolutions, is ready to win and looks as though it's found her right race.
Terrific work, as always, Dino. Look forward to your contributions right throughout the week.
My pleasure. Thanks, Warren.
Brendan Delaney, how do you wrap up the day?
Run of the day, King Magnus, horse to follow. Maybe Constantinople heading towards a Pakenham Cup. But I think I might have found one for Dunkell to follow. Mr. Razzle Dazzle, over 1,000 there yesterday. Still very immature the way he goes about it. But I think with maybe some headgear and in 10 or 12 days' time, we might see him step out and be pretty hard to beat.
What are we looking forward to on Sunday Central the next couple of hours?
Plenty to take in. The preview of the Cup program at Donald with Trav Noonan. Trav will join me to preview both Victorian meetings. Chris Calthorpe's going to join us with his thoughts on his runners heading to Geelong today. Matt Kamani with his thoughts on his runners going to Donald. We're going to talk cricket with Adam White. Then we'll jump on the Form Express with Dubbo Canberra Cairns and also the Trots at Cranbourne with Rob Orber before we talk all things greyhound racing with George for you a little before 12 o'clock.
Well, I better get out of your way because I'm impinging on your time. Make it a clean sweep for the King. King Magnus, run of the day. El Padrino out of the first, my horse to follow. Thanks for joining us for Correct Weight this morning. Stay tuned for Brendan Delaney, Sunday Central.